What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Broke Down Garage. Brent Gill here with Jake Becker. As always, fantastic episode today. We got a long one today. Little off topic in the beginning. Who knows how much is going to make the final cut? But I'll tell you what, we talk about the legendary M8 and how people can't give it away. Brent gets totally enwrapped in it, and he can't even live without the idea of owning an M8 now. We also talk a little bit about dealers, both cars and drugs, and it's a fun ep. So enjoy it. Here it is. Broke Down Garage. Let's go. Welcome, everybody, to the Heroin Cast with Brent and Jake.
All the amphetamines that exist were invented by militaries.
I did know that. Apparently, the Nazis used to just get the, like, when they were blitzkrieging, they would just amp everybody up on amphetamines. Like, when they were trying to cover 30, 40 miles a day, they would just amp them up on amphetamines.
Everybody did it. We do it to pilots still.
Dexedrine started with like snipers and shit.
Yeah, and we still give it to pilots.
Like and we to still, children.
But not for a medical reason. We're still giving amphetamines to military pilots.
Really? Just to get them amped?
Oh, dude, you're flying a stealth spy mission where you're going to be at an undetectable altitude for 14 hours, and like everything you do needs to be aces. They're slipping you a fucking pill.
You need as much confidence as you can. Yeah.
They're slipping you a pill. You need to be wide the fuck awake and wired. You need to be paying attention to all the buzzards and have the right amount in you so that you're dialed in, and it helps with your capillaries. It helps with a lot of the shit, but they're still doing it. Like it's one of those things where we like to talk about, like, can you believe the Nazis did this? Like, we did it at the same time, and then we hired the Nazis who perfected it better than us, and now we use their shit.
Can we believe they did this? We did this 2 hours ago with Sergeant, Sergeant Smith over there.
Yeah, yeah. You know those guys who are landing on aircraft carriers? I have to be exact, down to 4 inches. Yeah. You think their pupils look normal? Let's take a look.
I wonder if the military is telling them what they're doing and they're like, fuck yeah, dude, amp me up. Or if they're like, take this, you have to, and they reluctantly do it.
No, they tell them what they're taking.
And then like pilots are like amped.
Yeah. Or you say no and they're like, cool, you can go do paperwork. We don't have to let you fly a $50 million plane with your $200,000 helmet, your $750,000 flight suit. What do you want to do? You want to go Mach 3 today, or you want to go sit the fuck down?
You want to go Mach 3 or turn to Chapter 3? What are you trying to do?
Yeah, what's your day look like in your head? What's the rest of your career look like? You want to do the fucking pills to do the thing you've dreamt about doing that any mechanic speed freak person that is qualified to do that would be like, uh-huh. Yeah, none of them are turning it down. That'd be like if steroids were legal. Who would turn down their coach being like, who wants pills?
Who wants to feel better tomorrow and hit the ball further, huh?
Yeah, you're being endorsed by the military and they're promising to take care of all your medical needs for the rest of your life. Fucking pill me up, bitch. Let's go. They're not going to take care of them, but that's not what they're being told.
But they tell them they will. Yeah.
Yeah, they're being told that, like, none of this will be a problem.
They sell them the dream. It's funny. Yeah. Barry Bonds talks about how he's like, how everyone shits on him for all that. And he's like, well, if everybody was doing steroids and I was doing it too, then doesn't that mean that I'm still better than everybody? Even the ones that were doing the drugs too? I'm still better. I'm the man.
He's 100% correct.
Yeah.
That is the truth. It's kind of the truth with Lance Armstrong too, is like, well, after years of looking into this, we've discovered everyone was doing it. So what the fuck performative bullshit is it to take away? Like, the only facet I understand is to send a message to children, but like, fair. That's what parents are for. I don't know.
Which, I mean, parents aren't killing it these days.
Yeah, but that's not on the organization to like demonize one guy when it's been discovered like the whole playing field was doing what this person did. That's why I'll always respect racing. Mm-hmm. Racing has never looked at cheating as cheating.
Like, unless you're cheating with the car, you mean?
Yeah, the famous line in racing is, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. If you're not cheating in racing, okay. you're all not right. trying. They're all cheating. They're all cheating. If you don't think they're cheating, you're a rube. They're all fucking cheating. They're all cheating. And because they're all cheating, it's fair. And then once you get caught cheating in a way that's not defined in the rule books, they'll define it. And then
you're cheating.
Out a way and then you either have to figure out a way around it or you have to hide it. But no, they've all been cheating since jump, dude. That's all there is to automotive sports. It's the art of cheating. Like, I would be not blown away at all to find out that Verstappen's car, like, in 20 years when somebody buys it secondhand and tears it down, that they're like, turns out this fucker had secret gas tanks in the pipes filled with methane.
Like, dude.
Because that's happened with old race cars. That old legendary Porsche race car went to the Peterson, and Peterson went to go start rebuilding it. And all of a sudden, they're finding NOS tanks and secret chambers and switches that were hidden, and like, and they figured out how they were hiding it from race inspectors, and it's been going on.
Wait, this I don't know. What?
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's because it's like barely news. It's like news that week to car guys to be like, hey, remember this Porsche livery? Turns out they were cheating too. They're all cheating. They're all cheating. All secondhand race cars, if you look at them hard enough, guys start to figure out where they were doing shit, or you'd figure out how they inspected the car and where they could actually see when they did the inspection, and then you'd start to figure out what you could do that they wouldn't be able to check. I could run a heavier flywheel, they won't be able to check it on the day of inspection, shit like that.
And so that is on for secondhand cars, where like if it's coming straight from Porsche to you, then you're fucked. But when next group,
they're all cheating when they get them firsthand. They buy them firsthand. Factories are complicit in it. Race builds are complicit in it. And then once they become collector's items, that's when it kind of becomes discovered how a lot of these teams were cheating, because the secondary owner that bought it after the race team or after it's had all of its race legacy done, then this old timer in Pebble Beach buys it to go do antique shows. And when he goes to rebuild it, then you discover like, what's this dummy floor in the fucking trunk? Oh, shit. Look at what they did. Like, it's
wild.
It's constant. And it's with all racing. That's what I mean. Like, I kind of respect racing's outlook on cheating, which is, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Like, if you're not trying to figure out every way to get away with everything you fucking can, then what are you even doing out here? You're going to do an honest race. You're going to come in last every fucking time.
Hope you like the midfield, bitch.
Yeah, nah, for real. That's what I mean. I genuinely, hand to my heart, I would not be blown away to find out Verstappen's car is fucking something's very illegal about it. I wouldn't
I've
be
thought
blown
that
away
too.
To find out Mercedes was doing illegal shit for fucking Hamilton a couple years ago.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like you said, it's not in the rule book. It's not defined in the rule book. And so,
right.
you know,
but a lot
like
of these
the camber
teams,
adjustment.
Yeah, but how many seasons did they run that before they announced it or a camera caught them doing it?
Yeah.
That's part of it, is that these guys aren't loud about what they've done. So like, how many cars at F1 do you think are running tiny adjustments like that with controllability or suspension adjustments that isn't being discussed because it's not winning a race or they haven't been caught using it yet? It's all
that's
over.
It's so wild to me. Like, also, too, think about being the engineer, and you create something revolutionary in the automotive world, right? You create like that, like, you know, I always go back to Lewis Hamilton and Merck, where they had that thing where you could push and pull and change the steering wheel to change the camber of the wheels. Think of the guy that created that, designed it, built it, implemented it, and then was like, I ain't gonna tell nobody. Like, to have something that, like, it's like having, it's like you bought a Fabergé egg and you're like, I'm not going to tell anybody I got this. Well, it was a weird example, but you get what I'm saying.
Right. Like, that Mercedes engineer gets to tell everyone in his life, because like everyone he's working with at the
later on in life,
they get to know everybody who's building the car. No, even when it's happening, these race teams know they're cheating when they're cheating. They just don't, like, there's enough of a circle. it's kind of like how Area 51, that was like our parents would be like, how would they do that and get away with all these people keeping a secret? Like, because there's thousands of you and you all live in the Vegas area. Like, it's pretty easy to have a friends in a social circle. Like, most bitches that work at the mall and men that work at the mall just hang out with other mall people. Like, this isn't hard to figure out. Like, it's you have to be going outside of your social circle to become a risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, as much as that's true, it's also like he just didn't get to brag to other engineers he might have met in college or something. He couldn't call up his buddy who got a job at Lexus and be like, hi, you want to hear what I have done? I'm smarter than you still. I'm still better than you.
Look at what I've created.
Yeah, like that's all that it really prevents them from doing. I get what you're saying. But in like, again, were they only running that the seasons that we know of? Because that seems doubtful to me. They had that pretty well dialed in once they started catching him on camera doing it with his hands.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You're telling me there wasn't like a knee pressure system or anything else that they ran at any point? Bullshit.
Or something down by the pedals.
Version. But yeah, bullshit. Yeah, they've definitely run that for a longer time. And like that's true with like I think a lot of these groundbreaking people. I also understand Verstappen's a psycho. But I wouldn't be.
He is a psycho. He's in his prime, but his car is just so. His car is legit 5 to 9 miles an hour faster, depending on if DRS is open, than any other car on the grid. And how?
Because he's made a modification to that car that the other
that no one knows about, or that's not illegal yet.
Yeah, it's not illegal yet. It's not legal yet, and no one knows what he's doing, including. His
probably own him, to be honest.
Car. Yeah. He probably knows because usually those things come with like a control that's very sneaky. And usually they come with like different rigidity, different chassis characteristics. So his car is definitely driving a little bit different than his teammate's car. You can see it. You can see that they're acting different on the track. Those guys don't weigh enough differently to make the car perform completely fucking different.
I would be curious to see. I mean, we talked about this last year, to see Max Verstappen in other cars or even in Checo's car. You know, that would be crazy. But to see him in like the AlphaTauri, which is a, you know, another Red Bull car. I think that would be pretty fascinating because, you know, everyone, like the weight thing's interesting. Everyone talks about this when they asked Formula One drivers, you know, who would win in a go-kart race. Everyone was like, well, Yuki Tsunoda, because he's tiny. He weighs nothing. At that point, it's all weight. But when you have 1,000 horsepower behind you.
Yeah. When it's that small displacement. Yeah. And that tells you something. All the F1 drivers admit that when they get reduced down to nothing, weight's the factor. So what the fuck's going on in Verstappen's car?
Yeah.
If they all know he ain't the winner when it comes down to just driving, and that really the boy with the least amount of weight, because we all drive too similar. We're all too good. So the kid with no weight's the one who wins. And that's why racing's always looked at it that way, of if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Because really, cars have always been close enough that if someone ain't doing something, you ain't pulling that far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You're not making a show of it. You're not the decided winner before the race starts, unless you're doing something that nobody knows about.
God, I hope that comes out. I love it.
But it'll come out when we're 50. It won't come out. Same with like Lewis. It'll come out when like those cars become cheap enough that someone who works at Mercedes doesn't own them anymore. And they get sold secondhand to a collector of F1 memorabilia. And then when he has it restored, he's like, whoa, this car from 2 seasons before Lewis Hamilton's car was supposed to have the yaw control on the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. It has it. It has it. Is this like a newer part they put in to replace a broken? Nope. This is a matching part. Huh. Looks like they might have just kept their mouth shut for a couple of years. Like, yeah, I'm like, that's when those things come out, is when the car, like that Porsche didn't come out for 30 some years until Peterson was like, we should restore it. They're like, what are
Tell me about this Porsche, because, dude, this is so funny. I Googled this exact phrase. Porsche cheating, Peterson cheat teardown. And the first thing that comes up is Jordan Peterson, what to do if your spouse cheats. And it's 16 minutes. And there's only three key moments in this. So I don't know. I don't know. I thought that was funny. It's another Jordan Peterson of if you've been cheated on, don't collapse. So tell me what we're talking about here.
I'm trying to
like
see
these side, like they had methanol in side tubes, basically.
I think it was actually NOS.
Okay.
So they had not,
and like they had like little NOS containers.
They had NOS containers and NOS tubes and piping and everything, all hidden under fake false floors and components in the door. And the switch to do it was hidden under the dash. And like nobody knew the shit was in this car that was putting down incredible fucking times back in the day. And everyone was like, whoa, that's crazy how fast that fucking Porsche is. And then come
and
to
it's
find
just
out.
Naturally
like, yeah.
aspirated, huh?
Well, it was a turbo, but they were running within all the parameters of the racing.
But they added the NOS, which clearly is illegal because no one else is using it.
Well, yeah, and it's illegal in most. It's dangerous. You're.
you ever seen a NOS explosion?
Yeah, they're not as violent as you think, but it's dangerous in like races with these high-end touring cars to break down on a track. If you're on the other side of a little banked hill, just sideways on the track, dead.
And someone hits you and hits that tank?
Yes, especially in the 80s and shit when radios weren't right where they're at now. And
yeah.
Come on, where is this?
What did you say right before that? The 80s, the NOS. I can't fucking remember. Nuts. Oh, explosions. The my buddy blew up his manifold with too much NOS, and you're right. It's not very violent, but it is hilarious to see because you just see this car just like. Just the fucking hood just pops up. It's so fucking funny to me.
Dude, one of my
favorite, oh, I love seeing it.
One of my favorite design elements of all time is the which Alpha is it? The Alpha, the shitty looking Alpha hatchback that like our dads thought was kind of neat because it was like one of the first European cars that car magazines went crazy for.
Old school?
You know the one I'm talking about? It's like late 70s, 80s.
Okay. It's called a yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about.
And there's a the last couple of years of them, there's a big plastic panel in the hood, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you look at it, they all have these black plastic panel on the hood. It's just there. There's no scoop in it. It's just a big black plastic panel. Do you know what that would be for?
I would think it would be plastic panel. I would think it would be like a Ram Air type system.
You'd think what it's actually for is those engines were blowing up so violently and so frequently that they'd throw a piston through your fucking hood.
And so that was to catch the piston?
Nope. That was so instead of re-engineering the motor, changing the motor that's in the car, changing the design of anything. They just put a plastic panel on the hood so when your engine blew, all you had to replace was an engine. No body damage.
Oh, no. Shut up.
Nope. That's no fucking joke. That's no joke. No exaggeration. That is why that got designed into those fucking automobiles was so that when you blew the fucking piston through the fucking hood, it would just punch out some plastic that you'd have replaced instead of also fucking up your hood and possibly ripping the hood out when it was latched at the front and the back and bending the unibody. So instead of dealing with any of it the right way, they were like, hey, don't worry. Look what we did. We gave you a little panel that'll pop out. So if your motor does explode, calm down. You just replaced the motor. Now it didn't do any body damage. What are you guys all so mad about? Yeah. Love them.
Wow.
I love that. I love that level of being like, no, we're sure the car's right. You guys are driving it wrong, but here, we'll fix your fucking problem.
That sounds real Italian. Oh, man.
I think I might have found it. No, come on. Come on.
While you're looking, you know anyone driving from Denver to Trinidad tomorrow?
No. I mean, you could hit up Kayvon as a long shot, but I don't know anybody.
I just did.
Where's he at?
I don't know. We'll see. I'm just trying to decide if I want to fly to Albuquerque tomorrow or if I want to drive to Trinidad and get in Lund's car and drive to Kirky from there.
Is he performing with you in Kirky?
He is. The Kirk. It's actually funny. I think we got double booked. And I got booked by like the organization and he got booked by the show. If that makes sense, the distinction I'm making.
Yeah, no, I totally follow you. What are you driving there, buddy?
Me? Mm-hmm. Well, if I were to drive it, I would drive my Subaru down, but I don't really want to because that Subaru is going to die at some point.
Well, if you weren't going to drive the Subaru and you were going to drive something with like a way higher tow capacity, what would that be?
I don't have any other cars here.
Fuck. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I would bring that purple car down immediately. In fact,
no, I don't.
In fact, Jake,
I didn't want the purple car. I was hoping that.
What do you want? The van?
I didn't care what it was, but I wanted something that was capable of towing my Buick because I was about to pay you handsomely to tow my Buick with me back up to Colorado Springs on your way the other direction.
Interesting.
Because they're quoting me the same price it costs to get my car shipped across the country to get my car towed to Colorado Springs. So,
Lord, did you call my boy Jason?
No, not yet. I've been too sick to deal with it in any real way. But when I first started handling it, like the first couple of days, all the tow companies were like $800-900. Like, what?
Fuck
you
out of your off.
Fucking mind.
Fuck yeah. Off.
But also, like, I don't know how willing a car transport would be contracted to go 120 miles.
Sure. Yeah. Do you have a U-Haul down there?
Yeah, and they'll rent me a box truck and a trailer, but they won't rent me a truck and a trailer because their 1500s aren't rated to tow.
You think you could borrow Kayvon's truck?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do when I'm feeling a little better. That's why I asked where he was. I'm going to hit him up soon.
Because those car trailers, he's in Raton. Those car trailers are only like 2,200 pounds for the car haulers from U-Haul.
Oh, I've towed the Buick on one before. That's how I got it from Grand Junction down to Colorado Springs. So I know it fits on them barely, and I can do it. I just thought maybe you were in the van or an SUV that would be able to do it.
Well, there's a good chance that I bring my purple car, the E46, back up to Colorado, and take it over to see Steve Dinan, and fuck around over Dinan.
Yeah.
Dinan. Because my buddy's over there and he is the guy that built it is working over there. And he came to my show on Sunday and we were talking more about it. And I was like, oh, maybe we could get a few more things done on this car at a reasonable price. I would love to have because Dinan is a authorized retailer and like distributor of KW coils. So I was thinking about redoing my suspension. And also thinking about putting a pumpkin in.
Dinan's the nicest Beamer tuner in the world.
Yes.
Okay, I was just making sure you were clear on that.
Oh yeah, no, he's gonna hate the LS. It's so funny. He and DePaulo, he'll like a lot of it, but he and DePaulo, Matt, they have a fun talk every now and then. He has this. Dinan likes everything super clean, super pretty, looks awesome, all that kind of stuff, high power, all that shit. And he's like, Matt is like, Steve, I don't understand why this motor costs $60,000 to get over 700 horsepower when I could, for $10,000, get just as much power out of an LS.
And three times the mileage.
And more mileage. It'll go, right.
It'll go for three times as long. It'll get better gas mileage.
Yeah. It's like, what are we doing here? And, you know, but he's rolling around his new, like his, like he gets a car for like a month and he'll like drive in it and learn. And he's like, he just had the M2 comp. Now he's driving an M8 comp, you know, all carbon fiber, 800 fucking wheel horsepower, all this shit. And he's like, why is this car so much? This should never cost this much.
Why does it, they're cheap. The M8s are cheap.
Not the one he has. It's all like carbon fiber and shit. It's all like, I mean,
yeah, they take
like,
30 grand off the top. They can't give them away.
The M8?
They're still fucking cheap for what they are, even at the price they want. If the Corvette didn't exist, I'd be talking about how that thing would fuck everything else that moves for the money. But it costs twice as much as the Corvette, but it's still half as much as anything it fucks with. If it had If it had a stick in it, I'd be trying to figure out who wanted to buy my organs.
But they just want that dual clutch transmission is what they want.
Yeah, they're selling it to the higher end customer. If they put a stick in it, I really desperately, desperately, desperately want one.
It's such a big car, though.
Yep.
Why would you want such a huge coupe?
Because there's a reason big cars are good. And that everybody builds their Grand Tourer big. It rides better. It drives better. Like, small is trackable. You want a small car to go on a track or to go off-roading. Or if you're acting like you're on a track.
You want a big car for what?
When you're out in public. For hauling ass and doing everything you're allowed to do on public roads. That's a tourer. That's how you get around. Have an everyday adventurer. That's the everyday hot rod.
Cheapest one I see is a 2020 at 65.8.
Yeah, that's insane, bud.
That is very cheap. I lied. 2020 M8 base, 58.9.
Yeah, and that is not a little bit of car. That is a lot of motherfucking vehicle for the money. They are way slept on, dude. I hope they stay slept on. I'd love to have one day. And the old 8 series are all going down in value. Bad. They're going down fast. I don't know what's happening.
Well, it's because the BMW V8s suck.
No, they do not.
They're so expensive to work on. I mean,
I dare you to ask Dean about that.
They're not reliable.
Yeah, they are.
You think so?
The V12's not reliable. The V8's very reliable.
Neither was the V10.
The M3 V8 wasn't reliable. The hand-built one.
The M3 V8 wasn't. The E40 or the E39, the 5 series V8, the 4.4 V8 back then, that was a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, but the 4-liter isn't. The one that they've built and used forever, the design that they're committed to, not the high horsepower ones they come out with every once in a while. High horsepower variants are generally not the ones you want to have for livability. Ever.
There are so many 2020 M8s for sale.
That's another thing that makes the LS a special motor, is that the very few highfalutin motors are long-term motors. Hellcats are not good for distance. Like, and that's not weird. It's not a mark against them. That's why you don't see anybody saying how that's a bad thing. Like, oh, yeah, you're squeezing 800 horsepower out of it. It's only good for fucking 160, 150,000 miles. And GM's over here going like, how about 400 or 500? Like, what the fuck? We're killing it. But like, yeah. So like Beamer's highfalutin hand-built models that they were putting in the M cars that were way overbuilt have issues and high expense because they were high expense technological advances at the time. But they're everyday fucking driver's cars, the 740 or the 540 or the 840. That V8 is a fucking solid little bastard. Now, once you get into Vanos is a pain on all their motors.
Yep.
But nothing that can't be fixed. But their V8s are great.
Interesting. I'm just looking at these fucking M cars, these M8s right now, and I don't understand why there's so many 2020s out there. Is that because they were just, like, these are all just lease returns, basically?
That's part of it, and it's because when the car came out, they're German, and they believed everybody would see that it was the right choice and make it, and then they can't give them away, dude. It's not a joke. They cannot give them the fuck away. So they slowed down production quite a bit. So there's a lot of the first couple of years, I think 18s to 20s, there's a lot of.
And then I mean, on Carfax for sale, it's like all 2020s.
Yeah. That might have been the first year of the M.
The M8, that sounds right.
Instead of just the 8. Yeah, man, they're not desired like they should be. They're fucking rocket ships. They're incredible. If I could get one with a stick, I would have one. They're fucking very much great cars.
This kind of makes me want to take on a car payment.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of car payments, let's talk about this. I want to talk to you about this. Because you've never not owned a car. And this will be our final topic for today. So I'm talking to my buddy Jim. He needs a car. And I'm like, I think leasing is the way to go. My buddy Sammy Anser, you know Sammy, comedian, he leased a Subaru maybe a year or two ago, put zero down, paying something like $350 a month, right? And I'm like, well, yeah, why wouldn't you lease a car if you're not driving a ton? You know, you get 10,000 miles a year, which is about what I put on the most that I put on one car. You know, they do most of the maintenance. You just give them the car back when you're done. You can beat the piss out of it and you're out. Why are leases looked at so ridiculously?
Because the way it works out at the end, if you're not going back into another car with the same people, it doesn't generally work out in your benefit unless you stayed under the mileage and took incredible care of the car.
Because they're going to ding you for beating the shit out of the car?
Yeah, they ding you for everything. Every fucking thing when you turn in a lease. They ding you for everything. Shit they never are going to fix before they sell it again. You're getting dinged for it. You're getting dinged for every fucking thing.
Because your dad was a car dealer, right?
Yeah, but a big part of why guys in our communities don't like leases is you can't do anything to them.
See, I thought it was the opposite. I thought people were out here renting or like leasing these M4s, putting all these bolt-ons, beating the piss out of them, and then taking them off and just giving them back to BMW.
But you can do that. You're paying labor twice to have parts on your car that you're going to get dinged for anyway. And really, how many bolt-on parts are there without you cutting tubes and...
Well, you could do the tune. And- you could do... I mean, like there's enough to get... 30 to 50 extra horsepower.
A tune they can see, so then you got to undo that, return it to the original ECU, which is a pain in the ass, and there's not like a market for that. But it voids your warranty on everything. So even if you take it in for work ever, you can't have any of that shit on it. Ever.
But if you're leasing it, though.
No, that's what I'm talking about. When you're leasing it, too. But when you're leasing it, you're also not the owner. So then you're bringing the car in with all that shit on it and voiding. So if you own it, you void the warranty. They make you sign a fucking waiver and then you're good to go. You're leasing it. Now you got a problem. You've tuned their leased car.
Yeah, but you can undo it though. Sure, you got to pay labor twice.
Right, but you got to do that every time before they see it. So all those like included oil changes, brakes,
got it.
All the shit they're going to do for you for free, which is part of why leasing makes sense. Stops making sense if you want to put coilovers or do anything to your fucking car at all.
Am I about to look at an M8 to own?
I hope so, because man, I'd really like to drive one. But who's leasing the car and what do they drive now?
He drives my car now for free.
Okay.
And he drives in town. He goes to the gym. He works from home. He doesn't put much miles on it. And for the price, I'm like, I think that's a good deal.
How much does he spend on cars now? Nothing?
Zero.
Okay. And he understands that, like, if he leases a car, he'll have to get 100% coverage.
Yes.
And that may come with parking stipulations.
Interesting. He does have a garage, but good point. You know, I just like, to me, I've always been buy the car, right? Buy the car outright and then just deal with the maintenance. Spend less on the car so you have some extra money for maintenance. And then you have an asset, but you have an asset. Well, but now I have a car that's misfiring that cost me a shit ton of money. My Acura needs 100,000 miles. That's a shitload of money.
But you also always want fantastic cars. You don't want good cars. This guy wants a good car. He's not a car person, obviously. He doesn't have a car. He doesn't give a fuck. He just uses your car to get around.
Yeah.
So like really his best option is to get the cheapest fucking Corolla he can without rust.
And just own it.
Yeah, just buy a fucking $2,000 20-year-old Corolla with less than 1,000 miles on it.
That's what I've been pushing him to do is go spend, like, his budget's like 15 grand. He's like, I can go up if I need to. I was like, why don't you spend five and then save 10 grand for what?
Buy the fuck even paying that. Buy the cheapest Corolla you can without rust. Buy the nicest, cheapest Corolla you can.
Those are about five.
They're like two. The nicest, cheapest one you can without rust. And that'll be less than his car payment every month to keep the fucker running 100%. It'll never spend any fucking time in the shop. It has none of the qualms an old car has. It's not cool at all. No one will give a fuck that he has it.
My car's not cool either, so...
He won't give a fuck that he has it. He'll never be like, good thing I had that car because it handles better than anybody knows. Like, there's no secrets to why that's a good car. It's just solid as shit. But yeah, that's what you do. If you don't give a fuck about cars, if you're not using it in any real way, he's not going to put 12,000 miles on the car a year. He doesn't need all the coverage on oil changes and shit. He doesn't need to be buying full-blown fucking insurance. He can buy the cheapest fucking coverage he can on a $2,000 Corolla.
Yeah. And then if it breaks, then fucking go buy another one. It'll
save him $400 a month.
Yeah.
Plus the down payment, plus the overall cost. But it'll, like, the way to look at it is it's saving you $400 a month. So that's a shitload of money every year. You'd have to have catastrophic failures for that to not add up. And it's not the shit you and I are into that is unique old cars or fast shit or stuff that breaks in complicated ways. They're fucking Corollas. That is what broke people have been getting around in forever. A mechanic shop have the shit to make them work, and they know how to make them work. So that's the way to do it. But that's where it gets into, like, how much. So if he had like a 77 Cutlass that his grandma gave him that he was driving, that he's putting $400 a month into gas, go for the brand new car. You're not going to feel it. That's going to be a some change of zero in your life.
I see what you're saying.
Except that it's way better because that $400 in gas goes away. Now you're spending fucking $50 to $85 a month in gas. So that goes towards your insurance and fucking half, 2/3 of your payment. Like now it's a painless transition that you'll actually enjoy. You go from never having a car and borrowing people's cars when you need one to having a fucking car payment on a new car, full-blown insurance. He's not going to enjoy it the way that he should. The only reason to do that is if he needs to build credit.
Nope. When you get there, he owns a house.
Yeah, so fuck that. No, that's a bad decision. And then the other better decision is to spend $7,000 to $10,000 if his budget's 15 on something he loves. You spend $7,000 to $10,000 on something you absolutely fucking love, and then you spend the $5,000 almost immediately, like before you do anything with it. You take it to a shop that is reputable and have it fucking gone through, not kind of looked over, gone through.
You're saying before you buy it or after you buy it?
After you buy it, but before you do anything. I wouldn't put 400 miles on it. If that's what his budget is to buy it, to put down on a car and make payments, you spend $7,000 to $10,000 and then immediately go spend $5,000 redoing all the bushings, all the seals, all the fucking belts, all the hoses, the HVAC, the fucking carpet if it needs done, the headliner if it needs done, if any of the seats need repaired, you do it all. Because same thing, if this isn't a car guy, he ain't going to love nickel and diming his own ass and it going in and out of the shop over months. But if he just takes it and swallows the pill lump sum up front, he'll love it. He'll fucking love it. So if he buys an old Cherokee, a 70s Cherokee two-door or whatever the fuck, if you show him something he loves and you explain to him, like, here's the other way you go about it. You spend the money on a reasonable vehicle that's not necessarily a collector's item. You're not getting a fucking Camaro. And then you go through it. You know, one of those RS impulses. So one of those, you get one of those for $7,000 and have it gone the fuck through for $5,000 and have yourself a hell of a car.
Yeah, I guess that's...
The only thing that'll go wrong is maintenance. Then all you got is rubber and brakes that'll go bad over time.
Which is always the always the case.
That's every car, yeah. So,
right.
But that's the way to do it. You buy something that's not a collectible car, not an engine swap, just something that you love. You spend the money to get it running perfect, and then you just fucking enjoy it like it's a new car. And I wouldn't go older than the 70s.
Yeah, I can't imagine it. Dude, every time I send him a car, I'm like, yo, this thing is sick. Great purchase, good timing. He just fucking drags his feet on it, and he just can't decide anything. You know, he's like, I don't know what I want. I don't know. I'm like, well, you're going to need to stop driving my car at some point, which would be great. So let's figure this out. Why do people like the M8 over the M6? I mean, these M6s are all over the place. It's like the same body almost.
Wait, what? What do you mean? It's not even close.
It's pretty close. It's kind of the same.
I'm pulling this up. Also, I think it's funny that you're looking at a Dodge on Facebook that I've already looked at really hard.
How do you know? Which Dodge? The one I text you?
The Wayfarer.
That Wayfarer
that you sent me.
The businessman's coupe?
Yeah, it's way too much money, bud. If you want that car, I can find you one a lot cheaper.
I feel like that'd be a fun car to go racing in.
Yeah, it would be. It would not be. They already had basically independent suspension. They were years ahead of everybody else on that, so it should be easier to modify than a lot of things. But
I think it'd be fun as hell. It is tiny, though, and there's no, like, headrest.
You think the last shark-looking M6...
It kind of looks like the M8. I hate the M6s. I think they're stupid.
Okay, well, that's like saying that, like, all basketball players look the same. Like, they're similar. They're both from BMW. They have similar faces and grills. But, no, their proportions are very different. The scoop on the M8 is inside. It's got like the Mustang's roofline.
Well, the M8s are very difficult to find. I've been looking like in Colorado. There's a lot in Texas. There's not a lot of M8s for sale.
Yeah, I knew they were 140, bud.
140? Are you fucking kidding me?
136 is what they started at with no options.
And now I can get one for $70,000, a 2022. Although that's a four-door. I think those are so
617
dumb.
Horsepower, 0-60 in 2.5. And at 10.7, it's at 129 as it covers a quarter mile. It does a 10.7 quarter mile stock. That's faster than a 710 horsepower Ferrari 488 Pista.
In this big-ass fucking car.
Uh-huh. And it's faster than the Ferrari 488 race version. It's fucking fast, bud. It's a motherfucking car.
I feel like I should get
hell.
The convertible.
No, what the fuck happened to you in the womb, dude? Was your mom drinking or smoking or doing coke? Back to the drugs. What the fuck? What the fuck was that theory, man? This car's perfect. I should get the bad version.
Well, at least I didn't say the four-door.
Well, no, because you knew that I have nothing going on that I'd find you and kill you. But they should have never
made the four-door. Dude, a convertible's fun. You can hear that motor whistle. You can have chicks in the car with you.
Yep. You should definitely buy a 617 horsepower convertible. That's a great decision, dude. That's
who
awesome.
Who needs a top above their head? You remember the Z3 where I was scared of how much power that had and no top? Let's do it again.
Yeah, convertible cars with that much power have gone well for so many people. There's like James Dean, Paul Walker. Convertibles are great, dude. It's such a good way to get a fast haircut. And have body flex. I'm sure the M8 has like almost no body flex compared to the coupe, but it does. That's impossible for it not to.
Because it's so long.
And you got rid of that roof. That roof is so much structure and it's so rounded. It has to stiffen the car so much.
Oh. The convertible's got body flex.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
No, it wouldn't have body flex because it's long. It would have chassis flex, which makes you more stable because it keeps your tires on the ground because your suspension's attached to your chassis.
Mm-hmm.
But not from power. That's from length and suspension. From power, it's different. When your car starts to twist from power, that is a big fucking issue.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I didn't realize all these M8s are all-wheel drive. I guess I thought that was part of them. But that's how it gets 0 to 60 so fucking fast.
I think the regular 8 series are, you can get them rear wheel or all wheel.
Yeah. The one that Matt was telling me about, he's like, it's got 305s all the way around.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane. Although, dude, I'm looking at this one on Facebook in Edmond, Oklahoma. The dealer sticker In the Facebook pictures, this is for the convertible, mind you, has it listed at $89,000 for the 2020 M8 base convertible. Okay. Facebook, they're selling it for $67,000, a $22,000 dealer discount. They're like, get it out, please.
And I promise you can get at least 8 more taken off.
That's insanity. If I can get 8 more taken off, I'm getting a fucking convertible.
Yeah, they're on average taking $30,000 off the asking price to get them out the door.
Bored. Matt was the same one.
GT Porsches take an average Bathurst 60 to 80.
God.
Yeah, so even though their asking price is that high, nobody's leaving the lot paying that. Which is fucked. They should just ask for what they're going to settle at. They'd sell more cars.
M8 competition, 41,000 miles, 2020. Two owners, including the person selling it, $74,995.
Yeah, dude. And that will dust a fucking very expensive Ferrari. It won't beat it. It'll dust its fucking ass. You can go to the drag strip and beat everyone in their hot rod. You're pulling a 10-second quarter mile stock. That's the beauty of it, is it's a motor they put in a bunch of other shit, so it's not that bad. It's not a Bentley. You're not signing up for $2,000 oil changes and shit. You could learn it. If you're not going to tune it, you could learn to do all the maintenance, the oil changes and the fucking brakes. That's all you got to do.
Looking at the engine compartment and how much plastic is on there, it's just like, this seems like this would be impossible to do work on.
You're such a silly goose. The plastic is just a cover hiding what you're used to seeing, buddy.
I fucking hate plastic.
I know.
It looks pretty when you open the hood.
Object permanence issues. You're like, there's nothing in there but plastic.
I don't like it.
Like, Brent, it's just because normal people get overwhelmed by the amount of machinery. And you're like, I don't believe you. Where's the machinery?
What's happening?
Yeah. Which blows my mind too, that somebody explained it to me that simply on, it was like on a forum where they're like, the stuff they put on there to make normal people not feel overwhelmed. And I was like, oh, imagine being so dumb that seeing nothing made you feel less overwhelmed than seeing everything. Like that's totally a thing, dude. There's people who understand cars so little that when they pop the hood and it's all plastic, they're like, good, nice. It's pretty. That's good.
Love it. Looks clean. I'll take it.
End of thoughts. But if they popped it and saw like the coils in the alternator and shit, all of a sudden they're going like, I don't know how nothing works.
This seems complicated.
Right. But no, it's all there. And an oil change is a cartridge and pouring. It's not very complicated.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I don't know. I've always been an M3 fan. It's crazy to me that the M8s are like their pinnacle car all of a sudden. Or at least
it's not all of a sudden. It's always been that way. The M3's always been the broke boy racer car.
Really?
Yes, dude.
You think all my friends have those?
The M6? Yes. The M3 was never better than the M6. Not once in their runs. It was never better than the M5. It was a coupe and it was smaller. So it was fun for a bunch of reasons, but it wasn't the better car. They were selling the real rich guy an M6.
So they're putting the M8 on the M8 and the M2 on the racetracks. That's what Steve Deenan's doing.
Yeah, because it fucking rips. They put the M3 on too, but the 2 has all the same equipment in a smaller fucking package. So why the fuck would you go for the 3?
Right.
The 4's got almost all the same shit as the 5, but not as powerful or as sturdy. So why would you go for the 4?
That's fair.
The 5's every bit as big as you need, and you can still make it ballistic fast. Why would you go for a 7? The 6 or the 8 is the guy with money's haul-ass car. The M3 is a teacher who just ate ramen for 2 years and saved up real hard. I'm being serious. I'm not talking shit. It's just always been like insane that you could get that for that money and that it's that well-rounded and that it was so balanced and performed so well and it was the obvious choice. So like a lot of people get them, but they've always had a better thing. Always. There's no world where the Z3 or the Z4 is cooler or better to drive than a Z8. Like it just doesn't exist. That world is a world that doesn't exist in all the permeations of the world through the multiverse. There's no version of reality where the Z3 is a better car than the Z8. Same way that there's no version where the 3 is better than the 8 in any regards in what they're building. The 840 and the 850 in the early 90s were the fucking shit, dude. Those weren't kind of good cars at the time. Those were outrageous fucking masterpieces. And when you look at them, it doesn't seem like it. But when you really look at them, they've got everything Beamer didn't have on their cars for another 6-7 years. When you look at a 90 fucking 850, the interior looks like a fucking, it looks like yours. It's got all the shit yours has. Because it finally
trickled down. That's the one that Jordan had, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jordan. Oh, Michael. Yeah.
Yeah, he had like a famous one that was went for sale.
His blue one was just for sale recently.
The E31. There it is.
It's the motherfucking shit, dude. I'd have one of those in a heartbeat. And they're going down in price. Even the manuals are going down in price. Action Bronson. They've always been cheap because no one cares. And then Action Bronson built a really nice one. And all of a sudden they were going for money again there for like 5 years. But now they've calmed back down. Because I think everybody figured out there's only that much performance you can do to them. You have to hunt down all the... You just have to hunt down all the Deenan shit from back in the day. Deenan doesn't still make it. And there was nobody else supporting these as tuners. And back in the 90s, having 350 horsepower was a big fucking deal. But now it ain't. I'd love it. They're perfect. That'd be the perfect driver's car, man. You got pedestrian killers up front. You got that mean ass fucking wraparound dash. The fucking interiors are
luxurious. I just sent you a picture of the interior of this one. It looks so fucking delicious. It really does look driver oriented when you look at the at how the dash and everything is kind of turned. It's kind of like what the vet did, but it's cheated towards you a bit, you know.
It just sent me the Google link. It didn't send me the image.
Oh, god damn it. Well, that's fine.
Did you see that toggle I sent you?
It did. That's I think they're asking a lot of money for it, though. It is low mileage.
It's cherry, and that's not a lot of money. Ones that nice
are going
for like 40 or ones that nice have been going for like 40 or 50 lately.
This doesn't look that nice.
It's okay.
I don't think it's that nice.
It is. How much have you spent on the van?
Currently, I'm sitting at a little over 7, 8 right now.
See, seven. You don't think that's $3,000 nicer than what you've got in the van?
Yeah, but not.
But
it, I don't think so.
It's cherry. Doesn't need anything.
It says,
and they sell for 40. We could buy that and take it to Meekum and make $20,000.
Should this be a project for the podcast?
No, you just buy that and drive it. Don't touch anything on it. That is the last great American vehicle. It's in the right color. It's the right trim. It's the right year. It's got a fucking... Yeah, it's got the iron block Vortec fucking LS. It's not an LS.
Is it a Vortec?
Yeah, it's the last year. They went away from the LO2 to whatever they call that one. Because before that, they had the 350 LO2 in it. And now it's at the last year or the last 2 years, it was the other motor that was introduced in 97 in the Camaros and Corvettes.
Colorado to Wyoming, a lot of miles. That's not too bad of miles. I mean, had to choose between this and the other, now granted, I've always wanted one of these, a two-door Tahoe, always.
But that is your Beamer's dash.
And the Tahoe here?
No, the one I'm holding up.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. It's pretty, yeah. No, you're not wrong.
Okay, well, do you know what a 93 series looked like? Because it didn't look like that. But that's what it I looked, mean. The 8 series from fair. The early 90s kind of gets washed away because so much of it trickled down into the other cars within the next 10 years that... It's not like a time capsule of what was special about it. It was just like the beginning of what was great about that era of cars from Beamer. But it was 10 years earlier than the other cars. If you had that in 90, like really that guy's interior looked as modern as yours. 1990 interiors and almost everything look like dog shit. Dog shit. So to have that interior is a bigger flex than what we think. Same with those early Lexuses. That's kind of the same thing. Like, dude, nobody really Lex gives a fuck now. Insane. Yeah, but now they're like really nice Camrys. Like when you look at them, really, that's what they are. But at the time, it was like, holy shit, is this quality? Like, how are they doing all this in the interior for this amount of money? Like, what the fuck? They went full Rolls Royce for fucking Toyota prices? How the fuck they doing this? But then it became a thing where like Tahoes had Denali packages and like that kind of got washed out of being special. So now when you see an old LS400, a younger kid who doesn't appreciate cars a bunch wouldn't see why that's special. They'd just be like, well, it's got a pretty nice interior, I guess. Fair. Like, yeah, but at the time that was monumental. That was when every other Japanese car had a plastic dash that creaked and cracked when you were around corners. Like
when you were driving, you could just hear the fucking suspension, you know, squeaking.
Yeah, and you'd hear the interior components not fit 100%. You'd hear the little plexiglass in the dash flex on the Hondas when you go around a corner, it'd go from one side to the other. You hear it, just a little.
Incredible.
Yeah, but Lexus totally did away with that. Not in like the second generation. Not eventually. They introduced a car that was luxurious as fuck for very little money out of nowhere.
Yeah, like, I still like those old Lexus. I've been looking at them now. My grandpa used to have them when they were new, and they were so fucking nice then, and they're still nice now. You're right.
And 2JZ motors are the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had great fucking equipment. Like, they were just top to bottom the shit. Now they're slow by today's standards. They're like but they were fast. They were fast as sports cars by those days' standards.
Especially for how heavy they were and how quiet they were. You know, they had a lot of sound deadening in there, like a lot of dynamat and shit.
Like the new 8 series we just looked is doing 2.5 seconds 0-60. So who fucking cares that a 90s is doing a 7 second? But a 7 second 0-60 in 1990 was drop your pants. Holy shit, what's going on? Like, that was very fast. That was very, very, very fast for that age. And you had all that luxury, and you had a 6-stick CD player, and it was that fast with a V12 and a stick in a coupe that was pillarless. It was a real hard top. They're fucking G'd up from the feet up. But it's not a lot of the special cars of the 80s and 90s. I just saw an article Doug DeMiro wrote that said, like, no good cars came from the 80s. That was the title of his article for either Motor Trend or Road and Track. I forget which one it was, but he just wrote a series about how, like, everything from them was bad. They didn't do anything right. They hadn't figured it out yet. That was
And this is all cars, not even a brand specifically, all cars.
His claim is there's not one good car that came out of the 80s. Not one.
How do you feel about that?
I see his point, and it's kind of what I'm saying. Like, the 80s were even worse than the early 90s, dude. If you were doing it in a fucking 8.5 second 0-60, that was a big fucking deal. Let's talk about it in the newspapers. Holy shit. The new, every guy like 10 years older than us, 15 years older than us, that thinks their IROC Z28 fucking Camaro they had in high school was the shit. Dude, I can run faster than one of those fucking cars. They're dog shit. They're bad fucking vehicles. They're bad vehicles. You have to realize how bad cars were for like 20 years for 120, 130 horsepower Porsches to catch up and exceed past them. Porsches always handled better, but the fact that they were able to like engineeringly keep up for all those decades and not fall out of favor is because we were putting out dog shit cars as far as performance and power and handling. Bad examples, bad interior materials, bad plastics, bad vinyls, bad foams, bad trends towards digital shit.
The digital stuff was awful. I mean, that was like the start of when all the, like, the pixel stuff, you know. Like, looking at BMW dashes, none of the pixels work ever.
No, and it'll be trash. The same on all these new cars, except they won't have a tach and a speedo to make it usable for a 16-year-old with $3,000 burning in a hole in his pocket who wants to go fast. They'll be undrivable.
Right?
Yeah. There's a crisis coming sometime in the next 10 years where we're not going to have anything for poor young people to drive.
And what's a boy to do?
Yeah, once we start catching up with where everything had 130 sensors in it and push-button starts and batteries relocated because of weight distribution because everybody wanted to be like Beamer but not pay an engineer, it's going to catch up. All these lane-changing alarms. What happens when those break and just go off constantly?
Yeah, dude,
We're coming. There's going to be a point in the next 10 years where there's a real crisis about what to do about cheap transportation for cheap, poor people and young people, because it will not exist.
You think they're going to get all the fucking EVs or some shit?
None of that's, dude, all those have like a 10-year shelf life.
They just get given those because everyone's like, oh, this was a bad call. Our bad.
Well, no, once the batteries start going bad on those are even – that's a worse decision than the over-technological petrol cars. Like, those are a financial nightmare. An old electric car is a financial nightmare.
Priuses, you think, too, or not so much?
Priuses, too. the battery packs are so fucking expensive to replace once they go bad, dude. You're talking 10 to 12 grand on a Prius and like, I think 20 to 35 on a Tesla. Plus labor. Like, no, man, it's going to be a real thing. There's going that to be a like real problem. Yeah. It's coming fast.
Doomsday, dog. We're fucked. It's going to be a Mad Max situation with a bunch of old broken cars and then Brent in an M8 rolling around.
Yeah. Good, but like, man.
If you want to drive in an M8, come up to here and at the end of the month if you want to. If you come up here, let's see here, 24th, I have that. If you're up here the last week of the month, we can go ride around in Steve Dinan's M8.
Is Steve going to be there?
We could probably. Matt is driving it. That's like his car for the month. So Steve might be there. Because I want to go to the shop. I want to go to the shop in Centennial.
I want to pitch bad ideas to Steve Dinan.
He might like it. Apparently he's a really cool guy.
Nothing about me thinks that me and him wouldn't get along and that I wouldn't be able to give him at least two of my ideas I have pocketed away in my little brain that I already know what I would say to him, and I'll say them as soon as we're done recording, that he'd be like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
And you think he didn't think about it?
Let's do that. No, I'm weird. I think about shit I think other people don't think about. I think my car dereliction is special and very weird. Do you know what a BMW 600 coupe is?
I thought so. A 600 coupe? BMW. Let's look at this. Oh, yeah, I do. I've seen those at at car shows. Yeah, where the door opens up front.
No, not an Isetta.
Then I don't know what you're talking about.
Look up a 700 coupe. There's more of those.
Oh. That looks like a car you'd like. It looks kind of like a Harman Kardon. Or a Harman Kardon. shit. A Karmann Ghia.
Well, except that it's kind not of. Round and it has a traditional car body.
All right, with calm fins. Down. Calm down.
And
no what's your grill. Point? Why are we looking at this car? What's your point?
Have you ever seen one?
Not in person.
Huh. Weird. Almost like it'd be cool as fuck to have that be a car that Dinan was throwing the new four banger turbos from BMW in. Because 2002s are played out and kind of lame. Look at the low roof line on that thing. They're fucking cool.
I mean, if you look at this 59 one with the race numbers on it, that looks pretty cool.
The blue one?
White one with the number 20 on it. Black wheels.
I don't see it.
That's fine. I see the blue one, too, that looks, with the 101. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. They're the shit. They're cool as fuck.
Which, by the way, looking at their wheels, I do have to give you credit. I was talking to him. I was like, yeah, my buddy Jake thinks I need to go to 17th. He's like, that's like the God wheel for sports cars. And I was like, yeah. God damn it. Why are we going to 18th?
For style. For women who don't care.
Yeah.
And right. Other guys Dude. That do.
My mom just got an Acura, and I believe my dad said it has 21-inch rims on it. And I'm like, why?
Because your mom thinks it's very pretty, and it looked better than
No, the my mom didn't want that. It's just what they had with the A-spec. But my mom could give a fuck less. But I heard that, and I was like, why the fuck are those rims so big?
Yep.
Think of the tires you're going to have to buy for this.
You're going to hear that with everything. And it's an SUV. It should have fucking 16s max. It
should have some rubber. Yeah. But that's why they pay so much for the suspension. Well, Jake, I'm in a pickle now because now I'm going to spend the next 2 hours looking at M8s and then trying to decide if this is a purchase I can make and just have it for 2 years and then sell it for like 50 grand later. And then I only spent like 12 grand in 2 years on it. or if I call up Steve and be like, hey, let me get one of your old M8s. He'll sell me. Go fuck myself.
Yeah, but, if you live in Texas, see if you can find a rear-wheel drive one.
I'm on – well, I think the all-wheel drive is the better one because I think
– you're right. That would be more upkeep.
Well, it's more upkeep, of course, but I don't think that
any of the M8s – tires won't be more expensive.
Let's see. RWD,
I don't think you're M8. Going down enough in performance. I think if you get a regular one, it will still keep up with your LS car. I don't think it'll be as violent, but I think it will run on a fucking track the same times.
Yeah, the LS is, I think that's a good way to put it, as violent. Look at this. I could lease this thing for the low price of $1,859 a month for 36 months, as long as I put $10,000 down. What a deal.
$1,859 a month.
That's a lot of money.
For the $75,000 one?
No, this is for a brand new 2024 lease from BMW.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right. But then take 30 grand off of that, because that's what they're doing.
And so I don't think any of the M8s are rear wheel drive.
I think some of the competitions are.
I don't think they are. I think what they're saying is it's a rear biased all wheel drive system.
Yeah, I think you have to go to a regular 850 M Sport.
Which, why would you do that, right? Drive.
To get rid of the all wheel drive. And all the M components that will cost more over time, and you still have a car that's batshit fast for even cheaper. They'll have everything you want, except they're automatic. I think they're all automatic.
Again, not as fun, but not the end of the world if it's supposed to be a Grand Tourer, you know, a GT car.
No, it's the end of the world. It should be a fucking stick. I think they would have successfully, as a corporation, moved more M4, M2 buyers into being these kind of buyers had they put a stick in it. I think there's a short-sightedness because, man, this is going to be a long one. Because when our parents were younger, dude, automatics sucked until about 1965. That's when
Dodge came. I would agree.
The torque flight 700 or 727. Those things were the first automatic that shifted better than a person. You're better off going to a drag meet with the torque flight than you were with a manual in any other car. And so boomers kind of have always looked at automatics as a luxury. Not a hindrance or a bullshit add-on. They've always looked at it as a luxury. So these car manufacturers think their high-end cars need to stay automatic because that's what appeals to these people. It's not just about the fact that the shift time's faster, and that's why Ferrari and Lamborghini go with these trannies, because their motors will blow the fuck up if you're not shifting fast enough. And okay, it's very fast. But M cars don't need you to shift in milliseconds off the line for you to not blow the fucker in first. Like, they're just not revving that fast. They're not going that fast. They're not going that hard. So they're going with these automatics because that's what the market wanted 25 years ago. That's the reason these 840 and 850s from the 90s are all automatics, even though they offered them with a stick at no cost option, was everybody wanted an automatic. It was a luxury to have your Grand Tourer that hauled ass, but also I don't even have to shift to haul ass. I'm just fucking hauling ass. And all those automatic Porsches of the era, and like a lot of that was because it was luxurious. And it was a big markup to get an automatic in a sports car back in the day. They charged your ass. It was not cheap to get an automatic Porsche. You were paying a lot extra, enough extra you could have gone and bought another car. So these manufacturers all think that way. And like, I think the recent Cadillac Blackwing proves that that's not correct anymore. I think the Miata sales, the GR86 sales, the Supra selling out of the manual as soon as they fucking announced it nationwide, can't fucking find one.
Like, people miss rowing gears.
It's the younger generation of car freaks, the guys our age, the guys a little bit older than us that aren't as into cars as us, but they like having M cars and shit. They do enjoy it because it is better. It's a more engaging experience with your car. The old timers that were white trash, that were just there for speed and were driving old cars all the way through the 80s and 90s, like my dad, wanted manuals because they were less maintenance and more fun to drive. But they really, over the years, realized the main reason they liked them is they're more fun to drive.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the mindset in the 70s at all. It was, you had a base model car. You got one with a stick to save money because you didn't want the luxury of having the automatic. Nobody looked at it as you doing the true enthusiast thing. Even if you were buying a Z or a Supra or a Celica or whatever, or a Mustang or whatever you were getting, it was looked at as more luxurious to get the automatic. So that mindset still holds on these cars like the M8, where they're like, well, anybody but spending 120 grand, like, yeah, but that guy who spent 80 grand on your M4 5 years ago might get talked into this if you put a stick in it, but you're not going to put a stick in it. He's going to go buy something else that's more sporty in his mind, even though it's not as fast as this.
Yeah.
Not as dynamic.
I mean, their transmissions though are so good. I mean, my dad's Z4, that thing shifts so no one can shift that fast.
Yeah, but who cares?
It's fun. It's easy.
It is fun until you're in a corner and it shifts when you don't want to.
Yeah. Throw it in sport, but yeah, right.
Or you're going downhill riding your brakes because you can't just fucking row right to where the engine breathes nice and keep it in gear in third and just roll at 50 without putting stress on anything.
I do like doing that down the mountains.
Yeah. Like, it's just, but it's short, but like, I think BMW fucked up by doing that. Same way Supra fucked up by not offering a manual off jump. Like, that was just short-sighted. Like, what the fuck were they thinking? But in their mind, guys who are going to spend $65,000 to $70,000 on a sports car don't want a manual. And GM thought that. And then for the last Blackwing, the final edition, they were like, we're going to put it up for order with manuals. Holy shit, 56%. Holy shit, 60. Holy shit, 70% of them are manuals in our pre-orders. In a car that we've assumed we couldn't sell as a manual for the last two generations. That we only put in the coupe, and like dozens of them that we just sent out, but we weren't letting people pre-order them. You got one, you got one. It was like a special thing we did because we were purists. Fuck. Like, maybe we're fucking up. Maybe we should build one more Blackwing. We sold out of these pretty quick. Let's do another year.
Which they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Blackwing's sick as fuck.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's those sedan hot rods, like the STS and the CTS-V, they've always made a couple with manuals, but never in the numbers they made the automatics. They've always just assumed the fucking XLR, man, never came with a stick. I'd have
the McLaren?
Five of those motherfuckers if they came with sticks. I wouldn't have one. I'd have five. I'd have different colors and different tunes. I'd have a fucking problem. I'd have so many of that fucking car.
Oh, the Cadillac XLR, the squared one. I remember these.
The Corvette.
Is it a Corvette?
100%.
Cadillac.
It is. It's a Corvette. Look at it harder. Blink a little.
Oh. Yeah, that really
is. It's a hardtop convertible Corvette. It's a C6 Corvette with a supercharged fucking 4.4-liter North Star V8.
Those things are going for 26K now.
That ain't shit. And they're all well cared for. Very well cared for. Nobody broke bought those. They were way overpriced. But
those are all automatics.
All of them, 100%. Not one of them made with, I think they made one show car with a stick and that's it. But if that had if those came with a Tremec T56 in it, like the Corvette did, dude, I'd have a fucking problem. That car is so cool.
It is a pretty classic car. It does remind me, though. It's like, it's funny when you say that. I'm like, it's kind of like you want a Crossfire.
Yeah, I'd also have a Crossfire if you were able to do anything to him.
Yeah.
You can't get a stick in the
came
fast.
With a stick in that Mercedes motor. That'd have been sick.
You can only get a stick in the base model.
Yeah, it
with
sucks.
With the dinky motor. You can't get a stick in the SRT.
Yeah.
And they did shit to the SRT motor to make it like an abundant pain in the ass to ever try to manual swap them. It's crazy expensive, the amount of work that has to be done to manual swap them.
I don't understand the choices they make sometimes.
Well, that was Mercedes knowing they were about to get out of business with Dodge.
So they're like, nah, we're going to make this complicated because fuck y'all.
Yeah, we're going to give you our sports car, but not let it compete with our sports car at all. Because Dodge didn't touch those. Chrysler didn't touch one piece on those fucking Crossfires. Those are 100% built by Mercedes. Manufactured. They're 100% manufactured by Mercedes.
Yeah, I mean, we've even looked at the motor. I mean, it looks so, like, insane how...
The stamping in the doors says Mercedes. They're Mercedes.
Yeah.
It's an SLK.
Mercedes Daimler.
Yeah, it's an SLK.
Wild. Well, Jake.
Right. I'm going to have to cut this one up. I might cut out a bunch of the drug shit.
That's probably fair. That's probably fair. Fun talk up top, though. But... This I want an M8 so bad now.
Yeah, me too, man. If it, like, honestly, if I was a doctor, if I was making 120 a year, like I'd have one. It's a no-brainer.
I mean, also this fucking Yukon does look good. This Tahoe, but
that Tahoe's the shit for the money.
That's so much money.
You're not getting a better car for that money or a better truck setup for that money.
All right. Well, my headphones are just bumbling in my ear about how dead they're dying or they're getting. So we'll move on. I've been on podcasts for 4 hours now. Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm going to buy an M8.
I don't think you will.
But if I do, I'll drive it up to you.
The insurance on one, I think, is pretty high.
You think so? I mean, I'm already paying $453 a month for all my insurance with all my cars.
That's not bad.
It's kind of a lot. I mean, when I tell other people, they're like, I'm paying 77. And I'm like, what? What?
Yeah, but they have one car.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. So,
and probably less tickets than you.
Maybe just a few. Maybe just a few. Oh,
all my cars are 1980 or older, and mine's 325 a month.
Wow, probably because your the safety on them is terrible.
Nah, it's probably got more to do with the amount of reckless and careless driving tickets I've incurred over my driving career.
Yeah, that could probably do it.
Yeah,
that could probably do it. I think we should get our, we've talked about it. I think we should get our dealer's license on the show and see what this looks like.
Yeah, I'm game.
I don't know what, I think we got to take pictures of your house, pictures of your garage, your driveway. And we have then, to pave the driveway. And then I think that's about all we got to do.
Well, we have to come up with bond money.
For the car we buy?
No, they make us get a bond for the license.
Oh.
So we have to put down I don't know what amount of money it is, but we have to put down a pretty big amount of money.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if it's 10 grand or if it's 40 grand.
$50,000?
50,000 sounds more right, yeah.
Let's see. The Colorado Department of Revenue requires a motor vehicle dealers to purchase and maintain $50,000 to purchase a $50,000 surety bond for the duration they're in business. If you are a dealership salesperson, a $15,000 bond is required.
Right. So that means for the two of us, we'd need 65.
Because the dealership would need one, and then one of us would need one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right. And then they just hold that so that if we do anything financially wiggly, they have money to pull out of if we got in trouble ever.
And then when we quit, we eventually get that money back?
Yeah, if we quit, we haven't fucked up. There's like a holding period. I don't know how many years it is with car lots. And then after that expires, they return the money to you.
Lord. Can you do it over months? Like, can you pay it off?
You can get a loan from a bank or a business person that then you pay them. But not, no, the license has to be paid for. So,
God.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah. So
what are we going to do, Jake?
I don't know. I feel like we might hit up an Iranian dude, see how that goes.
I know Kayvon.
Yeah, me too.
I know him.
I think he'd have faith in me. I've brought the idea up to my dad. I'll say more about this off mic too.
I love that. Well, we got to go then, everyone. We got some illegal shit to talk about.
Love you, bye. It's legal.
It's totally legal. Hurts.
Ow.
You talking about me or you? Because my ass hurts.
My tailbone.
It's been a long pod. I'm glad I'm laying down. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, no, my tailbone cyst is acting up.
Oh,
that's like fucking hurt.
All right.
No.
Show's over. Jake's dying. Brent's got to eat more nerve pills. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll keep you informed on the process of this dealer's license and the M8, but we're just fucking dreaming now, baby. We're just fucking dreaming now, baby. Jake, thanks for being here, dog. Good to see you.
Hell yeah. This is a good one.
We'll see you next week. We'll see you next week, everybody. Goodbye.